Hi, and welcome to another exciting episode of China on the Rocks, a podcast where we talk about China, F&B, and everything in between. My name is Logan. I'm joined by my awesome, pinkish-purpley-haired co-host.
Hi, guys. Anna here. And I would say green from the swimming pool hair, but...
It's not green, no. It's definitely like... it's green. I've gone colorblind.
It's multicolored.
Multicolored, yes. So what's up, Anna? What you doing today?
Today I'm just hanging out, having a delicious frozen margarita.
It's delicious. Margarita weather still.
Yeah, it's still really hot. The summer is still here.
Yeah, I mean, it's in American, it's 92 degrees right now.
I don't know what it is in real weather, but real temperature.
John Mann taught us a good way to measure weather. If you want to know from Fahrenheit, which is the temperature of freedom, to Celsius, you take the number. So if I said it's like 100 degrees, because I can't do better math than this. If it's 100 degrees, you minus 30 and divide by 2. And that's your Celsius. So it'd be 35.
It's an averaging. It's not exactly, but you get close enough. Yeah, you get close enough. I also feel like the closest you get to zero, the math changes, right? Because negative temperature is very similar.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah. So I think that only works for like summer weather or like hot weather, right? Like if you're talking about the cold, I don't know if that works.
Well, that's why I measure in units of freedom.
Okay, I'll get there. So what did you do this week, Logan?
Well, you and I went to an Irish whiskey event yesterday by the Irish BIA board.
It was really fun.
That was really cool. Yeah, I mean, we tried some good whiskeys. There was Middleton, which I really like. There was Redbreast. There were some nice gins.
There was a cool one called Lumbee.
Lumbee. I didn't get to try that.
It was really nice. So they had two expressions. They had a blended with sea salt.
Oh, wow.
It was very salty, very piratey, very in the ocean. Not necessarily my favorite, but they also had another one, which was a single malt aged that tasted like almost like anise. It was very like I feel like that if a pirate is not going to drink rum and they're going to drink whiskey, that's what they would drink.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
The whole line was really nice. Yeah, we tried a bunch of other like Irish whiskeys and liqueurs, but that was definitely like a highlight for me.
I came in starving. We were at the fabric market getting some suits made for our upcoming trip to San Francisco for
your award
seasons. And we didn't have time to have food. And so Brian, friend of the pod, who was going to be on our podcast, came over with me. And it was at Cannery, and the food was really good.
Like, yeah, they did all this little Irish snacks. So they made Guinness Irish little pies, very buttery, which was delicious. They had oatmeal cookies with orange marmalade, I think whiskey base, and some Irish cheddar. And they had Guinness chocolate cupcakes with cream cheese frosting. Yeah. And they were all...
Well, and then oysters. There was a full-on oyster board.
Irish oysters, yeah.
Irish oysters. Which, they were big.
Yeah, and I love like those Irish rock oysters. So we all just kind of met each other by navigating individually to the oyster bar. And then we just saw each other there.
Like they made an announcement, like, get oysters before Logan eats them all. Because I kept asking if it was just free-flow oysters. And they're like, no, this is all the oysters.
There's a limit. And I had a few.
They were good.
I definitely enjoyed. Like, oysters pair well with anything. So, hey.
And we saw a friend of the podcast, Sean Brady, was there. So he had some oysters with us. If you remember him from our beer podcast with Sad Gorilla, he was on that. Super fun. Yeah, it was a really nice little get-together. Our friend Guy was the host. He was a great host. We learned a lot about Irish whiskeys. And we got to, like, I thought some of it was really fun. Like I said, Middleton 15 blew my mind, and I really wasn't trying to drink yesterday. So having drinks was like fudge. Like,
Shout out to Guy for doing an entire presentation on the history of Irish whiskey in Chinese.
Yeah, in Chinese.
Full in Chinese. I was like...
So Guy's an Irish guy, Irish gentleman.
He's an Irish guy as well.
I'm defining with the definition, with the word. So Guy is a gentleman. He's from Ireland. I actually met him in Ireland at the Teeling's distillery. So it was really cool. When I was on a Jameson trip to Ireland, I met him at Teeling's.
And see how it all goes around. I've met Guy when he worked for Teeling's as well as a brand ambassador in Hong Kong.
So,
and we happen to have a friend today, a friend of the pod, here hanging out with us directly from Hong Kong, spending a week here in Shanghai. We have the amazing Daniela here with us.
Nice segue. Sorry, Daniela.
Professional.
That was a good segue. Respect.
Hello.
Hey, Daniela.
So we're just introducing her to the pod. So the first thing we do is let's have a shot.
Let's have a shot. Tell me what shot this is. This is what I've been doing to Anna lately.
Yeah, he's been So, Daniela, you don't know, and people at home already know, but he keeps giving me this blind shot and trying to get me to guess what it is.
Oh, okay, fun.
So, cheers.
Cheers.
Smooth.
Oh, I'm familiar with this. Oh, it's aged tequila.
Yeah.
Oh, do I need to get the brand and everything?
You don't have to. I mean, I donate 1,000 RMB every time you get it right to a different children's charity.
Pressure's on.
Oh, God. Is it...
This year, we're doing it for kids that can't read good but want to.
Okay, Zoolander. Don Julio. No.
No, because you wouldn't have that many age statement Don Julios.
I am just guessing here blindly because it just tastes like a delicious reposado tequila.
Not a repa.
Añejo?
Añejo, yep. I mean, you are an agave.
Yeah, but blindly like this. I don't even know what
the options are. I mean, these poor kids aren't going to learn how to read now, but it's okay.
Hey, it's okay. They're better things than reading.
No, it's the 1800 Añejo.
I wouldn't recognize blindly that one, but yeah.
Well, I mean, for those listening at home, before we record it, I had Anna and Daniela do some quality control on these Jell-O shots I made. So we got a big yeah. podcast to talk about. We got a lot of stuff to cover. Daniela's just along for the ride now.
Yep, thanks for having me.
We've got to talk. We have a big party on Saturday that we're doing for our big birthday party.
Whose birthday party is that?
Some weirdo from the internet. But it's going to be a big party. We made 100 Jell-O shots. There's 85 of this moment.
But neither me or Daniela were involved.
Yeah, or myself. But I had ChatGPT roll out a big instruction sheet for how to make 100 shots of Jell-O at a 45 ml a shot. And they were stronger than we expected.
I have a feeling that, so Logan's right hand and bar manager here, he did those Jell-O shots. I have a feeling that when Logan gave him a recipe from ChatGPT, he just left the recipe on the table and went and did his own thing. Because those shots are boozy.
They're really stronger than we thought they would be. So I'm going to apologize now. So when this drops on Saturday at 3 p.m., the party's actually going to start. So we've warned you.
Yeah, you've all been
shot. They're very sturdy.
They're very sturdy shots. So the funny thing is, like, Yuraki, the bar manager that made them for us, he's made me thousands of Jell-O shots before at Logan's Punch. But suddenly he didn't know what a Jell-O shot was.
Like, collective memory.
Like I think the Jell-O ate a hole in his brain. So there's that. So we have a big party on Saturday. And we've talked about parties before, but this year I'm filling a pinata with Jell-O shots, which I thought would be really fun. I wanted to fill a pinata with uncooked eggs, but Cheryl said people would get upset.
I would comment on it, but you have stopped letting me say party in this podcast.
No, you're
not allowed to say the word party anymore, guys, because he keeps a count on how many times I say party.
It's just the hard P's when we do the editing.
So I'm not allowed to talk about it. So I don't know what the festivity this weekend.
You know, we're doing, like, behind Daniela, and I have to probably send pictures for the Instagram. We have a pin the tail on the donkey that I made, and then a picture of my California ID that has a face cut out. So that's going to be a fun time on Saturday.
Also, even though the photo of the ID is expired, like the driver's license is expired, we are not sure on how much of identity fraud he's going to get into because all the other information is available on it.
Well, no, it's my old address. I haven't lived there. My height, my weight, no social security number.
Isn't the driver's license number, like, if you get a new one, you get the same number?
No, I think it's like a passport number. It changes. I think it's fine.
Is your date of birth, full name, height, eye color, hair color?
That's the thing. My eyes aren't brown. They're beautiful.
Your signature?
That's not even my signature anymore.
Okay.
But yes.
But anyway, if anybody's looking for a new identity, it'll be available.
Oscar, if you want to be Logan Browse, you're up.
That's your opportunity.
Okay, let's get to Daniela.
Okay.
Daniela, tell us about yourself. And
tell you guys about myself? What am I supposed to say? I used to live in Shanghai.
Your clothes back on. She thought this was a different kind of podcast.
I thought this was video.
Yeah.
One day.
I used to live in Shanghai, 2010 to 2016, something like that.
And now where do you live?
Hong Kong. Currently in Hong Kong.
What do you do?
What do? I do marketing.
Okay, for
marketing. I have my own company. So different types of clients, luxury, entertainment, everything.
But knowing Daniela really well, she's really well-traveled, guys. She has a lot of opportunities of going all over the world. And she comes to Shanghai fairly often since the C word that we don't talk about and the borders reopened. And Daniela has lived here for a while, moved to Hong Kong. So she has a lot of insight on how things have changed, on how things are nowadays, or all the pros and cons, especially with a lot of opportunity for comparison. So we thought, let's pick her brain a little bit. Let's try to find out more about this differential. So, Daniela, if we had to ask you, what's the biggest difference between the bar industry in Hong Kong and Shanghai, in your opinion, of course, anecdotal?
Sure, yeah. Well, okay, so this is the second time I've been here since this year, since before the C word. And otherwise, I've been mostly in Hong Kong and internationally. And I have to say, it looks a lot different here, but it still feels vibey. And compared to Hong Kong, it doesn't feel so vibey. So unfortunately, a lot of bars have closed. It's actually a lot of restaurants have replaced the bars. So it's totally a different scene, I think, in Hong Kong. In Shanghai, it's just, it feels like a lot of stuff is still reopened, even though a lot of things have closed.
I think it was interesting. Like, we went to brunch the other day with our oldest friend, Christina. And we had this nice brunch at a place called Smoking Hog. And they had margaritas there. It's a great, great restaurant.
Oh, no.
But Daniela was asking, you use mix? What kind of stuff is that? And in Shanghai, almost every bar does use like a margarita mix. So you're asking very fair questions, but like for us, it's always going to be like fresh juices here. Like our level of bartending for most bars, it's going to be fresh, like not a pre-mix for margaritas. And what you were doing, you were asking really good questions, but I was like, oh, is that what they do in Hong Kong? Are they putting like a margarita syrup in there or whatever it is?
Yeah, it definitely depends where you're going. I mean, there are places that have like that do it, you know, by hand, that squeeze and use the good stuff. But traveling around Europe and the U.S. this summer, it was not the experience I had. The margaritas were not, it was not given that you would have a good margarita.
Yeah, it's just interesting, like what you find in Shanghai versus other places. Like, what's the trend if you've seen it in Hong Kong for drinks? Like, is there anything you've seen like RTDs or whatever trending?
Honestly, I feel like a lot more people are drinking wine. I mean, there are cocktails, but there's a lot of really great cocktail bars, but I'm not getting the sense that people are out so much and finding really, really amazing cocktails. Or maybe I'm just going to the wrong places.
Well, I mean, like the other day, Corona launched Corona Zero, which I'm not drinking. Anna's looking at my beer bottle.
He has a bottle car on it, and I just decided to check if it's the zero or so.
I'm literally practicing drinking beer. No alcohol.
No alcohol Corona.
It's special. And I think they have to sell it because corporate back in the U.S. wants, they say people, the trend is less cocktails, less beer, more like wines, or lower APV.
Yes.
But those trends don't trend in China. They trend...
No, that's really good. That's exactly what I saw traveling around the U.S. and around Europe this summer, is a lot more NA cocktails and a lot more drinks that were just the alternative to alcohol. Not a lot of people drinking.
Well, I think, and a chef friend of mine actually put me onto the school of thought with that, is that in the U.S., there's certain things that are legal that aren't legal in China, and everybody has legal access to those things.
Yes.
And so they're partaking of other things that we're not partaking of here, and so we need our booze.
Yeah.
I don't think so. For me, the comparison is necessarily how you're getting your quote-unquote fun out of it.
We like to say rocks off with jazz cigarettes.
No, I just mean more as in like, just cigarettes. I just mean more, if I'm not drinking alcohol, which is totally fair, I would rather have a fresh juice or a soda, like a soda water even, like, because I don't think I want all the calories, all the sugar with none of the fun involved.
Yeah.
I feel like I would go for a healthier option. Then I would have like a soda water of lime, or I would have a fresh juice, or just have ice water, like, or a lemonade even, right? I wouldn't get something that is manufactured full of sugar, full of carbs. To be honest, like, Coronas are good when it's really hot because it's like refreshing and all that, but they're also not the best beer you can have out there. I don't know if there was no alcohol, if that would be a choice for me to drink.
So you're saying you'd never go for a refreshing seed lip cocktail that's overpriced and dirty water?
When you say it like that, look at... No, I have a lot of...
Seed lip, by the way, for those listening at home, seed lip is a spirits company that makes non-alcoholic vodkas, gins, right?
They have a big... Okay, so I think the two big guys in this market is Liars, like the bird, not like a liar, but horrible marketing. Let's be honest, liar. It almost sounds like you're lying to us. So Dam and Seed Lip are the two biggest that I know of, at least around the world, right? Non-alcoholic spirits. And They make a big range. So they'll make vodka, gin, rum, whiskey, this and that, and several different things. And I don't understand because, sure, the only one that I kind of get it, I'll give it to them, is that they made a bitter liqueur that's non-alcoholic. So something like a replacement for a Campari, because it can give a little different flavor profile if you're making something non-alcoholic, or even a juice. It just gives a little bitterness, so you feel like you're drinking something a little stronger. But a non-alcoholic gin is just tea. Let's be honest. Right? It's, you're just getting like your water and you're
feeling I like the lip, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you go to hell, Daniela.
No, I don't have necessarily an issue with what they're doing. I have an issue with the price range that it's sold at and that it's like perceived at. So if I'm going to go to a bar and have a silly, quote unquote, cocktail, which by the way is a mocktail, they're trying to rename as a non-alcoholic cocktail, but...
Fooey on you.
They still charge the same amount as if I'm having alcohol.
Oh, yeah. That's bullshit, for sure.
And when you are at a bar, there are bottles of single malt whiskey. They're cheaper than a bottle of Seedlip. As a B2B, as buying...
Oh, my God. What a loser you'd be if you bought a bottle of Seedlip at a bar.
No, but as for the bar.
Yeah, but imagine you're sitting there, like, you buy... Like, everybody else, like, oh, it's my turn. I'll buy a bottle of vodka, or I'll buy a bottle of gin. And you buy a bottle of non-alcoholic... water?
No, but...
Oh, my God.
For the bar. No, for the bar, right? For us, buying stock to our bar, a bottle of Seedlip is really expensive.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying as a customer.
Yeah. But as a, like, we pay 3-4 times for a bottle of Seedlip than a bottle of any of our real spirits.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about buying, like, plastic bottle shitty alcohol. I'm talking about, like, good brands from Pernod Ricard, from Diageo, from all that. Like, it's double or triple the price for a Seedlip bottle. And... it's not close enough to alcohol. Again, like, as a bar, I can also make a really awesome juice. I can even clarify that. I can add some spices to it. I can make a cool iced tea. Like, I believe that bars should have good and accessible non-alcoholic drinks. I just don't think they have to mimic alcohol and be 3 times the price. I think that's my issue.
Fair enough. Okay, so Daniela, what else are you saying? So we keep you on the podcast. We've had the Seedlip rant.
We had this rant. Like, I think every time Seedlip is mentioned, Mia Low can go on a rant.
I think it's been really fun to be going around Shanghai and seeing what's still open and what's changed and what's shifted. I mean, I was honestly shocked when you guys told me that Shuhui is not the place to be anymore. I think for friends that left, that were here before the sea, they would also be really surprised about that. Everything's really north now. We're in Jing'an.
Yeah, the Jing is where it happens.
Yeah.
Like, Jing is where the magic is. But, like, at the same time, like, when I moved here in 2010, everything was Shuhui. And off...
Well, through 2015, it was like that as well.
Yeah, I mean...
it was still there.
Like, before we recorded, like, I was talking to Daniela, because we've known each other for a while, and she used to write for Smart Shanghai, City Weekend, and we were talking about all the fun... journalism that used to happen here. It was a very different scene. So maybe from that filter, that viewpoint, what was your favorite kind of stuff to write about back in the day? Like, what was your beat? What did you...
Oh, we forgot the introductions. She used to write for a lot of the publications here in town that did reviews on places and talk about the city and basically city guides.
Yeah, and then I moved over to the dark side, to the PR side. But yes, I was writing for a while. And honestly, I was mostly shadowing Nick Taylor, Justin Fisher, Morgan Short, and kind of going around to the places that they were going to.
Were you involved in City Weekend when I was voted top 10 hottest bartenders in Shanghai? Because I was.
That was just a plug. Don't ignore him. Feel free.
No, that's a real thing. I sent my mom the copy.
I did some freelance bits for City Weekend.
Started signing those copies to people and just kicking them out in the streets like an asshole.
But mostly what I was doing was participating with City Weekend. So whenever they would have to do random, like, food eating competition, that's when I was involved with City Weekend. I was coming up with, like, interesting things to do from a PR side because I was always trying to sell them things.
Well, I mean, I love City Weekend. They had this really cool, like, this is all the old Shanghai Landers. They had this really cool feature where it was like a day in the life of an IE or a day in the life of a taxi driver.
Yeah.
And you got to, like, really see, like, nitty gritty people like you wouldn't normally, like, a cab driver back in the day. They worked, I think, full, like, 24-hour shifts. And then they'd sleep for a day. Like, it was...
you could smell it.
Yeah, it was like on for 3 days, off for 2 days, like something crazy.
Yeah.
What I think was really interesting when I moved here was still taxis. And like, actually, when I moved here, Uber was here. But Uber was not, it died off really quickly because the prices were just not competitive with normal taxis, right?
Wait, so I really wanted to tell you guys something about the taxis, okay? Because there's two things. The last time I was here, right, was like 2018, before this year. And when I got back, there were two really intense things for me. One was that the smell of the taxi, like, I could smell that anywhere in the world I am, at any time, any place. Like, I know the smell of a Shanghai taxi, which is so different from a smell of a taxi anywhere else. And it's just such a smell that is, like, in my brain and transports me to Shanghai. And the second thing is, when I got back here this spring for the first time, I could not figure out what the hell was different about the city until I realized how quiet it was.
Oh, the electric car.
Yes.
Everything is electric now. I noticed that too.
Like, EV has taken off here like nowhere else. I mean, it's absolutely, it's crazy.
So since I moved here, because I moved here around 2017, like late 2017. And until now, I've noticed that when I moved, was still like taxis, was still a lot of sounds. And when my parents came to visit me in 2019, I noticed that because my dad mentioned, he was like, it's so dangerous because sometimes you don't realize a car is coming. And that's the first time I really like paid attention. And because I think it's not a whole China, but at least Shanghai, this is not a real statistic. I don't know, but just by anecdotally from like just looking outside.
And a map.
I feel like it's majority electric cars nowadays. I think majority of the cars on the street are electric. And all of the scooters are electric because, and I'm not talking about those, you know, in America, when they call scooters, they call like the kid thing, the
moped.
Yeah, the moped. And I'm talking about scooters like a Vespa.
Look like Vespers, yeah.
Like Vespas, yeah. So like the Vespa type of scooters, all of them are electric. So like the motorcycles basically are electric. The bikes are electric. The cars are electric. So there's movement, but there's no sound. So the streets are very quiet.
But it's so nice. Coming from Hong Kong, it is so nice.
Even like in an American city where you hear like fire ambulances and police sirens, like you're here and you're like, fire sirens. Yeah. Why did I say fire ambulances?
Well, you still hear the ambulances here. They do have sirens. Yeah.
It's not as many though. Like in San Francisco, if you walk down the street, you're going to hear a fire truck go by with a siren blaring. And like you have to plug your ears super loud, but here it's very quiet and it is a little bit dangerous, like, because there are scooters that go up and down the streets on the sidewalks.
Yeah, and also
you're also not walking on the sidewalk the whole time because the sidewalks are sometimes blocked.
Yeah, so it's very quiet because of the, actually it's a good observation. A lot of people do that when you come here, like there's no traffic noise a lot of the time. Like you only really hear if there's a siren or somebody honks, but that's it. The rest is like really quiet movement.
Yeah, well, it's just really surprising, right? Because everyone's talking about EV and then you come here and it's actually EV, actually is quiet.
Talk more shit on Hong Kong for us.
No, but you know, Hong Kong, because I was talking about the taxes. So when I moved here, what I think it's surprising but weird is how quickly you used to get in a taxi and you just say the name of the street and all the drivers knew how to get anywhere. Yeah. They never used a GPS. They just knew. You said the street like, oh, okay, yeah, I know. And it could be far away. You could be going like halfway across the city to like a small suburb area. They'll know the street. Now, it's only been a few years. Nobody knows a single street. You say the most major street to a taxi driver, he will grab his phone and put it on a GPS or ask you to order on the app to get the GPS already in. Like, because they became basically Uber drivers because the apps here, it's called Didi. They are basically like a car hailing app, but they also, you have the choice to also get taxis. And when you get a taxi, it's charged as the meter. Like the meter is connected to the app. So you just pay a normal taxi and you pay the meter fee, but you pay it on your app, right? And it gives the GPS to them. So no one knows streets anymore. And I've noticed because I drunkenly decided, you know what? I'm just going to hail a cab, which has been years that I haven't. And I'll just come in and I'll say my street is a pretty big major street in the city. So it's a very known street. And I just say the name and the guys are like, huh? Is it near this? Near that? I'm like, dude, what happened? So yeah, the taxis are dying here. But they still smell the same, by the way.
They smell the same. I'm telling you, they smell the same somehow. It's the green tea.
It's the green tea and the mahjong breath.
Yes.
No, I mean, I could say, I remember before Uber, before Didi, before all of this stuff, you get a taxi, there was a test they had to take, and they would be able to tell you, like, any random street.
Anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And they would get there fast, too. White gloves, and they'd go as fast. You get those Expo
cabs. The white gloves. I forgot about that.
Expo cabs. That was a good cab. That is like, it would look like a mini minivan. And those are the bomb cabs. You knew that you were rolling deep if you had a Expo cab. Because before it was like the little red cabs that were made by some crappy company.
Yeah.
And they were like the really, really ghetto ones. And then you had these black cabs. that were illegal.
And it was the best way to train your Chinese, because sometimes you say the street and it doesn't work. And you're like, God damn it, I've got to get my tones right. And then eventually you get the tone right. And when a taxi driver just nods, you're like, I made it. I made it. I made it.
I remember when I learned Diaoto, which for those at home, Diaoto, game changer. Diaoto means like turn around, like do a U-turn, basically.
Important one.
Yeah. Oh, that I learned like left. I was like, jelly ting. I was like, what? I could say stop now? He doesn't drive me where he wants. It was crazy.
Okay, but if this is a podcast about drinking,
it should have been. But Anna wanted to talk about her taxi ticket.
Okay, look, wait, because I have another commentary on something that I've noticed since I've been here.
Bring it on.
Is it about drinking or is it about Anna's taxis?
It's actually about something that has surprised me. Is that the drinks have the cost, which I probably hope that nobody in the F&B industry is actually listening to this. The costs have not gone up that much. Like, the costs are still pretty...
The price.
Drinks have gone up massively in Hong Kong. It's a proper night out to have drinks. And here it's still affordable to go out and have a few drinks day night.
I have a commentary on this, because I actually, when I went to Hong Kong, we had a recap here. We talked about it. I don't think it's necessarily that the prices here didn't go up. I feel like they did. Like, both cost for us as F&B and also the price for the consumer, they did. I think it's just Hong Kong went too far. The last time I went...
Agreed.
My last time in Hong Kong was 2019. And a drink at a bar, Central, Soho, cocktail bar, was $88 to $98. It was just like that standard pricing, right? And it's been all the C-word years that I didn't go there. And then I returned like last summer. And when I went back, and I think because people there, for them was a gradual increase, but for me it was a big jump, right?
A leap, yeah.
Yeah, but for me it was a leap. For them was not. So they thought it was normal that a drink was $150. And I'm just thinking,
oh, it's outrageous.
It's not normal, because I was here 3 years ago and it was $88, and now you're charging me $150. I'm like, this is not normal.
It's not even just that though, the cups are physically smaller.
Oh wow.
I've noticed that too.
Well, what's the exchange rate like for Hong Kong to RMB?
It's like 1.25, 1.20, something like that. So, okay. So RMB's value like 20 cents more.
Oh, okay. So I should go to Hong Kong then spend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's wildly expensive.
No, but the conversion doesn't work well, because let's say, and again, I'm not doing the math. Anyone have a calculator at home? A drink that's 30? $150 there is the equivalent of 120 kwai. So it's still more expensive than here, right? So it's like, it's still 120 here is what you get in a 5-star hotel when you go and you kind of feel like you've been cheated. You gotta be like, why am I having a Havana 3 cocktail for 128?
Yeah.
So when you go there, it's a 50. I will say one thing though, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. The quality of, not that, okay, rewind. The quality here is good too, but we have a limited amount of brands that we have access to in China. So we have a lot of the really big broad brands, the Pernod Ricards, the Diageos, the Bacardi groups. The craft here tends to be more on the premium side. We don't have a lot of entry-level craft.
Yes.
Craft is reserved to like high-end here, right? So we have this big brands that are like globally renowned. Hong Kong, because of the taxation there, or because of however it is, you have a lot of these places that have a lot of small craft spirits being used in the entry level. So you do have a lot of interesting options in Hong Kong. So they are using a lot of really good quality, and they're supporting a really fun distilleries. There's a lot of really cool stuff there. But ultimately, as a consumer, the price is too high, right? So it's like it is cool that they have access to all of that, because when you're charging that much, you get to use more fun stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that. There are still a lot of really cool little places in Hong Kong that are out there serving decently affordable drinks and doing good things and using spirits that make the drinks more accessible. That's true. That's true.
Like, we have, like, we're fortunate here. Like, we had this craze that happened in Camden. Hoagie. How do we say it?
Hoags.
Yeah, she spearheaded it. She's guested the podcast before. She spearheaded it, which was the highball movement. She has an awesome bar called, and I don't know if you've gotten there since you've been back, called Lucky Mart. One of the most fun bars in Shanghai.
Okay, I might be bastardizing the story, but I know a little bit to tell you guys at home and also Daniela here. During, like, the beginning of like COVID when the market was not doing so well. She saw this opportunity if it was a convenience store that closed up. So they had a full license for a convenience store and they were this really sweet little spot, but right downtown. And the price was good. So she decided to, she forecasted how the market was going to be. She forecasted that people are going to want a quick, easy, cheap, accessible. So she came up with this little Japanese convenience store theme place that just sells highballs.
Yeah.
And the highballs are very affordable. Like,
yeah, it's very fair. I mean, High Seas is carry there, so it's one of my favorite places.
Yeah.
So it's just a convenience store.
Well, no. It's a bar, but it's themed like a convenience store. Like, there's no service on the floor. You have to go there and you order your highball. It comes in a highball glass, like a Japanese one that was like a mug, a glass mug.
Ignore the convenience store thing. It doesn't look like a convenience store at all. Well, it's called Lucky Mart.
It's themed as a convenience store. It's like a konbini that they call in Japan. Like, so it's like all the seats are against the wall, like if you were in a grab and go, and they have the fridge that you can grab yourself drinks, like the canned ones. You have like food, like instant noodles, but they add stuff so like egg or cheese or bacon or whatever. And yeah, they sell a lot of Japanese candies and a lot of other stuff like this. So the theme of the bar is a convenience store. It's not really a convenience store, right? But they created this really cool highballs, have different flavors, and they're all extremely affordable. And we're talking about, like, of course, changed a little bit of time. I think it's like 48 renminbi now. But when they opened, it was 38 or 35 renminbi for a highball. And it's just a whiskey. It was like Suntory and
it's all good whiskeys. But she kicked off this movement. And then now that whole street is all highball bars.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy highball bars.
What street is
this? It's on Fuminglu.
Fuminglu.
Oh, wow. I haven't been there in ages.
And the cool thing is, I mean, for Camden, everything she did was cool. But like some of these highball bars are like 10 or 15 kwai. For highball.
Now that then you know that at that point that they are not using good stuff anymore. Like there's a level of like, I want a good deal, but I also don't want the cheapest thing out there that I can't trust the quality.
Well, I find when it gets, the bars get cheaper, I feel my age. Not like in terms of the alcohol, but like I just like the oldest guy in the room. Normally that's Christina, but now when I go there.
By the way, Logan is saying all of this because he's 8 months younger than Christina.
I'm saying all of it because my birthday is on September 19th. And
you mean Saturday?
Well, my party's on Saturday.
Okay.
So if you're hearing this and you're not at the party, then you weren't invited.
By the way, me and Logan have the same weekend birthday.
Yeah, we actually have a birthday madness that comes up. It's it's Anna, our friend Mark, our friend Arthur. Who else is there?
I know that you were on the 19th. Mark is on the 20th. I'm on the 21st.
Wow.
And then Arthur's
on the 19th as well.
19th as well, yeah. And that's the trio that I remember. But we have kind of like this birthday weekend. And this year, his birthday is Friday. Sorry, your birthday is Thursday.
If it's on a Thursday.
Mark's is Saturday. Sorry, Mark's is Friday and mine is Saturday. So we have a whole...
What are you going to do for your birthday, Anna?
I don't know. One of my good friends that I share a weekend with is going to be out of town.
I'll be sipping champagne in South Beach at the Edition Hotel in Miami.
Yes, I don't know yet, but I'm not going to be doing that. Yeah. I'm going to be shy.
But no trips to Hong Kong planned?
Maybe. Let's see, actually. That would be a good birthday bash.
Thank you to some of my current favorites.
What are your current favorites in Hong Kong? Like, give us some Hong Kong. We have you on as a guest, and just Anna's been talking about taxis. We've never talked about taxis before on these podcasts.
The taxi podcast.
Brought something out.
Here we go. Call me out.
Yellow shirt that you're wearing with a green sign.
Yeah, it is. I should stop wearing taxi shirts to podcast.
Okay, so call me out.
Call me out. It's my favorite.
What kind of
bar? It's like wine, cocktails, very cash. They do food as well. It's by Beckley Franks, who used to do Pontiac.
Okay, she just got married, right?
No, she got married 4 years ago.
When?
It was yeah. 4 year anniversary. Like,
oh, that's the anniversary. That's what we saw on Instagram.
We all saw on Instagram.
Yeah. So that's probably one of my favorites. Honestly, I'm still going to Frank's. Such a good spot, right in Central. Peel Street's still good. Peel Street is, you know,
that Shady Acres.
Yeah, it's got like the Yong Kong Lu vibes of it. Like people are out in the street a bit.
Shady Acres is one of my favorite spots.
Yeah,
and Hook Horn. So that.
I mean, the drinks are small, but they're good and they pack a punch, and it's very vibey.
And that Impossible Burger is amazing.
And there's like this steak place that's open across the street from Shady Acres that is like one table and it's insane. Like the steaks are so good and there's like 8 seats. The guy who owns it just loves good food. So it's like you can either order a steak or fish or something like that. It's lamb or steak. And he does all of these incredible wines. and he plays guitar at the end of your dinner for you.
I'm just a little... And imagine being fired from some place called Call Me Al, and then every time you hear that song on the radio, you're just sad. You could be my bodyguard. And then you're just, like, sad. It ruins, like, Paul Simon for you. That's literally where my mind goes when you're talking about places I don't know.
Song?
Yeah, well, it's Call Me Al.
It's after the film.
Yeah. Shady Acres. I don't know what that is. It sounds fun. I like the names of these places.
Okay, you know what's funny? I don't know if there is a more of a background to it, as in, like, there's other reasons why they named it, but Shady Acres is the retirement home in South Park.
Yeah.
Like, in the show South Park, they have, like, Shady Acres, and it's all, like, the old people. So I don't know if it's, like, a South Park inside joke or if there's any other, like, popular reference for Shady Acres. But I think of South Park every time.
Yeah, just, like, one of those jokey retirement home places. Names, you know?
Yeah, it's in South Park. Yeah, so, hey.
Oh, you know what? There's one more good place that I have to mention. Barleone.
You're like our...
Oh, Barleone.
Oh, from SNL.
God. Barleone.
Barleone. So good.
Adore it.
Okay, guys, for the people listening at home and for people here in the truck that don't know what you're talking about, tell us about Barleone.
Barleone. It's like Italian-style drinks. I think they do food now as well. It's at the edge of Central going into Shenghuan, and it's just...
It's at the corner next to PMQ, so it's where Yardbird used to be, the old Yardbird location. So it's really like Ola, the brunch place.
Yeah, Ula. It's taken over Ula's space.
I forgot the name of the street, something Bridge.
But the team are really fun. Like, you will be definitely taking shots there.
So Lorenzo created this. Lorenzo has a lot of background in hotels and all that, and he just created a fun Italian place. I adore that place because a few things. One, service is amazing. Two, the mortadella sandwich is to die for. And they have that frozen cappuccino, which is just... And he hates it. Like, I talked to him about it, and he hates it. He's like, we put so much effort in our entire cocktail menu, and everybody comes here and wants the frozen cappuccino.
All the drinks have a lot of care. You can tell.
It's so good.
They're really good.
One of the best martinis. Great, like, Amaro sours. Great collection of spheres, great staff. Space is lovely. I adore Barleone. I agree.
But
hey, best bar in the world is here.
But
best bar in Asia. Best
just
bar in the world.
One caveat I have to say, you know, I haven't been really in Hong Kong since May. So there are probably a few places that haven't opened up since I've been there, though. So just hit me up when you guys come to Hong Kong and I'll do some research before.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be in Hong Kong in November. I haven't been to Hong Kong since maybe like 2014, 2015.
Group trip.
Should we do together?
On the road, yeah.
Should we go together? Then we do a podcast.
Life insurance, so it sounds like a perfect party.
Wow, we're really old. I was like, hey, go to Hong Kong to party. Now I'm going to go buy life insurance.
And party.
And take a taxi.
I want to go to Llama Island.
Yes, I love Llama. Oh, there's a new place that's open on Llama. Incredible. By Black Sheep, I think.
Okay.
Well, when I went there, it was literally just an island, like one little seafood mart.
No, there's like a very cool like Mediterranean lunch spot there now.
So Barleone was number one Asia's 50 best bars this year.
Wowie, wowie.
There we go. Things are happening.
Things are happening. Well, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up right now. I'm getting the signal from our producer, and you're not going to hear from the AI, but there is a blender because we recorded a little bit late today because Anna just couldn't stop talking about taxis. We were all at the pool last Monday, and I was trying to think of something fun because it's the end of summer. What's your favorite pool drink, Anna? We talked about this a little bit last time, but now that you've been to the pool twice, you're well-seasoned.
In general, for me, it's a piña colada, but for this season, it has been that lime coffee.
Yes, that was pretty clutch. That's what I want you to talk about.
So there is a quick, I don't know, like fast food coffee kind of thing. Your Tim Hortons of like China, I think it's called Luckin. And they have seasonal flavors, and they have a lemonade Americano.
Yeah, it's legitimately interesting.
It's refreshing. It's not too sweet. It's a little bit. It's sour. It's fresh. It's icy. And for a hot day on the pool has been like a go-to for me. So that's the drinks I've been drinking.
That was a good drink you were drinking, too. What would your pool drink be, Daniela?
So I had Sad Gorilla for the first time while I was here. Is that the right name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's beer, yeah, that's a
very
buddy big, Sean that we talked about.
Sad Gorilla.
Very big fan of the Sad Gorillas. I even got a tattoo at the Sad Gorilla party.
Yeah, that's what they do in China. We have events where you get to get tattoos. Like real tattoos, not fake tattoos.
Yeah. So this is a real tattoo that I got.
She's showing the podcast her tattoo because you guys can't see this.
Can you describe it?
It looks like a naked man or a Gumby.
Gumby vibes, yeah.
It's a very Gumby. He's got a protruding belly button, two dots. We'll take a picture of it. It looks like he's got a taco for a head or lettuce coming out as hair.
It's very lettuce vibes.
He's holding a flower. He's got three toes on each foot. It might be a face in the middle of his stomach. Maybe some hemorrhaging going on because there's like a little bit more of a red dots under his eyes.
Those are cheeks.
And now that I look at it, it looks like if it was Conan O'Brien's mom, I would believe it. It looks like an old Irish woman.
So this was done by Ellen and it's called The Flower Man. And I may or may not have gotten that like six sad gorilla beers in.
Yes, it's so cool. I like it very much. We'll take a picture.
Shout out for Ellen from Melon Pope.
She's so cool. And
yeah.
OTF.
We'll tag all their Instagram so you guys can see her tattoos. She does poke tattoos. But also just so this, I have a full arm that I dedicate for free tattoos. I haven't paid anybody.
Is this a tattoo or is this a fake?
No, this is a fake.
These are all free?
But I have four tattoos in one arm. They're free. And I just started using, I call it my sticker arm, is where I just collect stickers and they're just free tattoos. It's only, I never pay for anything in this arm. That's the goal.
That's the rule?
That's the rule.
Is that why the other arm's naked?
This is what I paid for. I have two. I have two in this arm, but I pay for this.
So you guys can't see Anna's arm, but on her left arm, there's the Quancho tattoo. Super cool.
And a tequila tattoo that I paid for. This arm is paid for. The other arm is all free stuff.
Free advertising.
So, hey, listeners of the podcast, if you want a good time with a free arm, you know where to tune in every week. China on the Rocks.
Thank you for listening, guys.
Guys, thank you so much to Daniela.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for Taxi Talk. And we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Like, follow, and subscribe. Bye.
Cheers, guys.
Bye, Taylor.